There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Katz with a Dish. This is John Katzalamidis. I write the Katz Report in Las Vegas Weekly and LasVegasSun.com. And I also write for The Sunday, the new weekly publication out of Greenspun Media Group. I write for like a half dozen publications in Greenspun Media Group and Niche Media. Short and sweet here today, Trish. How are you doing, honey? Trish McCrone.
I'm doing great. The one and only. I'm really excited because I am such a TV and movie buff, and we have on one of our regular contributors, but I love having him in the studio so we can actually talk to him and I can debate him on the things I love talking about.
Yeah, up next, and it's coming up right now, is our regular contributor. He does a couple of minutes each week. This week, he's going to be doing more than that. It's Josh Bell talking Oscar nominations, so stick around. I know we will. Welcome back. Joining us now is one of my favorite journalists in all of Las Vegas, the city's preeminent film and TV critic and a colleague of mine at Greenspun Media Group. He writes the column Josh Bell Hates Everything, which appears at that website and in the Las Vegas Weekly magazine. He's here once more to dissect this year's Oscar field. Welcome back to Katz with a Dish, a regular contributor to our show, Josh Bell.
Lovely intro.
Yeah, I
always appreciate it.
And I have to say,
it's the same one every time.
It's always nice to hear.
I would not be me if I did not address that. If you listen to our, if you are the viewer, listener, I mean, who listens to our podcast,
I'm a viewer.
That you would know that Josh Bell is my nemesis in some ways, because if there's anything that I do well, it's watch television and movies. That's pretty much my
so
talent.
Far,
your primary skill.
I think that's my biggest skill I have is my TV and movie viewing. And the best show of all time, Breaking Bad, Josh he's just not that into it. And so I just want to say, since we last spoke, Golden Globe and SAG winner, Breaking Bad and Bryan Cranston. I'm just saying.
No, you are vastly in the majority on this. Most critics are really huge fans of Breaking Bad. It's highly acclaimed. I'm one of the few who just was not able to get into it. So it's nothing wrong with having different opinions.
And I have
opinions.
To say yes, but I think that I'm right. But
right,
I do.
Well, I'm saying that most people agree with you. You are
okay.
Right.
So I joke that you're my nemesis, but you're actually also one of my favorite guests, because it's like the one time where I am so strong. I'm not one time as Katz. Well, before Katz can interrupt, I'm very opinionated about this stuff, and we joke that okay. You might as well say hi to Katz now, because you may not hear from him very much, because I don't let him get a word in edgewise.
We were talking about this as we were coming into the studio just a little bit ago. Josh and I live completely polar opposite lifestyles. He's in watching the TV and movies because it's required of his job, and I'm out in the field all the time because it's required of my job. And the only time we ever hit each other is in this show. So, but
ships
I think,
passing in the night.
Exactly. But I think the point about Breaking Bad hits to a larger point. You're very discriminate. Critic.
I like what I like. Yeah, that's true. And I mean, Breaking Bad is one that, again, like I said, most critics have really embraced. So, and it certainly lives up to a higher standard. I wouldn't say Breaking Bad is on the same level as like some terrible reality show or some awful sitcom like Dad's or something. I mean, obviously it has a it has a level of artistic ambition and sophistication that I appreciate. I feel like it doesn't quite succeed, but other people definitely feel differently. So yeah, mm-hmm. I definitely am not afraid to express my opinion strongly.
And right. That's why we love the healthy debates. Yeah. So let's get to Oscars, because okay, first of all, before we start right now, there are so many nominations for Best Picture. Do you agree with, I mean, it used to be just five. Do you agree with this giant platform of so many nominees?
Well, I think the truth with that is that they really aren't all genuine contenders. And so the real result of that is just that more movies kind of get promoted and get their names out there. And
I just get to say Oscar nominee.
Yeah, and I feel like that's one of the benefits of the Oscars. I'm kind of not that crazy about the Oscars, but one thing that I do appreciate is that they can take movies that maybe people wouldn't go see or would kind of be wary of or something like that, and they put their sort of stamp of approval on them, and it gets that movie to a wider audience. So in that sense, it's good. I think initially when they came up with this idea, the thought was that they would be able to throw in some more mainstream type movies, because a lot of times the Oscar nominees are just those movies that people are maybe critically acclaimed. There's a fairly small audience for them, and that hasn't really ended up being the case. I mean, if you look at the nominees this year, other than say Gravity, which I think would have been nominated anyway, these are mostly not populist blockbuster type movies. Not that they're not successful movies. I mean, I would say all of this year's nominees have been pretty successful at the box office, but they're not Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know, they're not the Hunger Games. They're not things like that. And I think that was, I think it was the year that The Dark Knight came out that, and it didn't get a nomination, and people were outraged, of course, because people get outraged about stupid, useless stuff.
Exactly.
But I mean, that was a highly acclaimed movie that also was huge at the box office. And I think the idea was, well, if we had expanded the field, maybe something like that would have made it in. And I don't think that's really been the case in the years that they've had this. But I'm all for anything that gets more people to see better movies.
So now, let's kind of like break into who you think should win and who you think will win, which are sometimes two different things.
Yeah, I'll try this. I have to say, I'm not a professional Oscar prognosticator.
The rumor is that who you think is going to win is to,
and you, your selections are who you typically are who you think should win, not who you feel like will win. Traditionally, right?
Well, I mean, we can talk about both of those.
Yeah.
And I think,
we should divide them up.
The idea of who will win is a huge, huge industry. And that's why I said that, because there are people who do nothing year round, journalists who do nothing year round, but predict who will win Oscars. The day that this ceremony is over, they will be predicting who will win next year's Oscars.
It seems like you're like early, you know, Oscar nominee buzz. I'm like, it's summer.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like how,
but it's so become now, a huge industry.
What do you think will win Best Picture?
I'm gonna go for 12 Years a Slave. I think that or Gravity, those are probably the top two contenders. But I think ultimately they'll probably go for the movie that comes off as a little more quote unquote serious, than the more, popcorny blockbuster type movie. Mm-hmm. So if I have to pick one, I would say that will probably
be. Did you like 12 Years a Slave?
I did. I thought it was very powerful.
I thought it was, it was extremely powerful and emotional.
Yes.
In a lot of ways. Okay. So that one's kind of, who you want to win, what would you want to win?
I mean, my favorite among these is, I don't know. My favorite among these might be American Hustle, which I also think has a relative chance of winning. American Hustle is one of those movies that most people liked well enough. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes with the Oscars, if enough people will put it as like their number two choice and no one's going to leave it out, it's less polarizing. Sometimes that can end up rising to the top. But I genuinely enjoyed American Hustle. I think it was very effective at what it was trying to do. It's a little disjointed at times, but the acting is excellent, mm-hmm. and all the costume design and things like that that's nominated for other awards. So that would probably be my pick. But I like Nebraska a lot, too. I thought that was really affecting, and it's a much smaller scale film, but I thought it was really well made.
I really like Dallas Buyers Club, but I think that Matthew McConaughey is probably going to get rewarded for that. And Philomena.
Oh, I did not like Philomena.
I liked Philomena. I think, you know, again, maybe more because it plays to more female type of a thing, I think, a little bit.
It may play that way. I just felt like it was so disingenuously sentimental, and I didn't buy into any of it at all.
Even though it's true?
I mean, it's true in the broad strokes, but I felt like the way that it was presented, and especially Steve Coogan's character with the whole, like, I'm this crotchety journalist and this, like, lovable old lady is going to teach me to care about people. And I just didn't feel like it worked. I mean, the true story of it is compelling, certainly. And I probably would have appreciated a documentary about the story
more than
what they made out of it.
Okay, well, let's go on to Best Actor. The nominees are Christian Bale from American Hustle, Bruce Stern from Nebraska, Leonardo DiCaprio, Wolf of Wall Street. Okay, I will say this wrong. Chiwetel Ejiofor? Is that correct?
That sounds right.
12 Years a Slave and Matthew McConaughey, Dallas Buyers Club. I think that Matthew McConaughey probably has the momentum going in over his past wins. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's probably true. And certainly he's had this huge career renaissance over the last couple years. And a lot of times these awards end up going to someone that they think is sort of due for whatever reason, even if this isn't necessarily the best performance he's ever given. You know, he's sort of conducted his career in a way that the industry appreciates, and it's culminated in this strong role, and so they're going to give him an award.
And also, let's face it, people that do huge physical transformations tend, you know, and they joke, well, women, it's just, you know, that's just working. But like, for example, even in other ways, like Charlize Theron in, you know,
Monster. Or Nicole Kidman in The Hours. And
Boys Don't Cry, Hilary Swank. You know, the people that do kind of huge physical transformations tend to be rewarded.
That is true.
With the Oscars. And he did. I mean, besides, it was a fantastic performance. I loved the movie. But
has McConaughey been nominated?
I don't know if he's been nominated before.
Oh, he has.
He may not have, yeah. I mean, again, he kind of... The movies that he started out with were good movies, but maybe they were a little more... populist, you know, not like Oscar type movies. And then he spent a lot of years doing crappy romantic comedies and stuff that really wasn't worthwhile at all. And I mean, in the last few years, he's definitely switched it up and done some really strong work. But I don't know if he's gotten a nomination for that.
Do you think he should win?
Yeah, I think in this category it's kind of close. I mean, I thought he was really good in that movie. I liked him better in Mud this year, which he's not nominated for, obviously.
Yeah,
But I thought he was fantastic in that movie. But in this category, I mean, I thought Bruce Dern was great in Nebraska, and I think he's another. If you look at the sort of career reward thing, you know, he's been a working actor for, 40, 50 years or something like that. And I don't think he's ever gotten an Oscar before. So they might look at it that way. But I thought his performance in that movie was really fantastic. And Chiwetel Ejiofor in 12 Years a Slave, I mean, that's a really intense, difficult performance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he may not go through the same kind of physical transformation that McConaughey did, but it's definitely a very physical role. So... I mean, I think all three of those actors were almost even in terms of how impressed I was with their performances.
Gotcha. Okay, so Best Actress, Amy Adams, American Hustle, Cate Blanchett, Blue Jasmine, Sandra Bullock, Gravity, Judi Dench, Philomena, and Meryl Streep, August, Osage County.
Well, I mean, Cate Blanchett is obviously going to win this award.
I agree with that I think that she will win. I don't necessarily think that she should win.
I kind of agree with you. I actually didn't really like Blue Jasmine that much.
I didn't
and
either.
I love Woody Allen movies, and I was disappointed in it because it was so well-reviewed, and I was really looking forward to it. And I thought her performance – I think she's a really good actress.
Yeah, and she did have – you know, she was the big part of the movie. She was
– Sure.
But her American accent grated on me, I do have to say, a little bit. And I just – I don't know. Like, I look at performances. Like, I thought Meryl Streep was brilliant. I mean, even though I hated August Osage County.
I hated her in the movie.
Yes, I hated her character, but it's like I thought that she did it well, but I hated the movie. There's nothing about the movie that I enjoyed. But I have to say, and I know, you know, she won in the past, but Sandra Bullock, the fact that she only had a co-star for like 5 minutes or 10 minutes during the whole thing, and the fact when you watch the behind the scenes, how she had to act in slow motion almost, and, you know, hanging from wires.
And without seeing any of her surroundings or anything. Yeah, I know. I'm impressed with her performance in that. I personally really loved Amy Adams in American Hustle.
She was fantastic,
too.
The British accent. She basically played two people.
Right, and she really plays those layers really, really well. And that's a movie that's full of all of this really, really good acting. And Jennifer Lawrence has gotten most of the attention for it. But I thought Amy Adams was great in that movie. She would be my pick, my favorite of these. But I agree with you that Sandra Bullock was really strong in Gravity. I do think Cate Blanchett's going to win because she's won virtually
every
single award leading up to this. I think it would be a shock if she didn't win.
Why? I don't know. But anyways, I don't know. I agree with you. agree on that.
I want to ask a question. It's a little bit off the board here about Blue Jasmine, because we've got Andrew Dice Clay in here.
Oh, okay.
And I've seen his stand-up a number of times. What do you think of him as an actor? Because I've always felt like if he really wanted to go in that direction, he could probably have a pretty fertile career. And this only reinforces that thought. And he loves doing it. I mean, what is your opinion?
I mean, I don't know if I've seen him act in enough stuff to have a general opinion of him as an actor. I thought he did a good job in Blue Jasmine. I mean, it's a fairly small, limited part, but he played it well, and he didn't come off as some kind of glib comedian who couldn't bring the depth to the role. I thought he did do a good job with it. I mean, I honestly, off the top of my head, can't think of something else that I've seen him in. So I don't know about A General Impression, but based on that performance, yeah, I think he could have a career as a character actor, and especially because he's kind of gotten to the age now where he can play these kind of middle-aged, you know, former tough guy kind of roles, and I think that's something that's called for. So, yeah, if he wants to do that, of course, he's probably doing way better as a stand-up. I'm sure the acting mm-hmm. would be a lot more, you know, he'd have to go and audition and really fight for those parts, whereas the stand-up, right. I'm sure, comes easier to him.
Less predictable environment. Yeah.
He was very good in Ford Fairlane.
I felt like the Dice Clay is an act itself.
Exactly.
Well, that's true. That's true. Yes.
I've been meaning to ask you about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Best supporting role. Now, it's kind of, I think this is a no contest as far as who's going to win, but I can't pronounce his name very well, but Barkhad Abdi from Captain Phillips. He played the Somalian terrorist, the pirate, sorry.
Yes.
Bradley Cooper, American Hustle, Michael Fassbender, 12 Years a Slave, Jonah Hill, Wolf of Wall Street, and Jared Leto, Dallas Buyers Club. Now, Jared Leto has won, like Cate Blanchett, he's won everything.
Yes.
Coming up to it. You obviously think he will win. Do you think he should win?
Yeah, I think so. I think in this category where I'm not crazy about most of these performances. I mean, I think they were all fine performances, but I don't necessarily think they were standout performances.
Mm-hmm.
I think his was probably the strongest. I mean, there's some aspects of that role that are a little cliched or stereotypical, but I felt like he played it well, even when those elements were there, he made it more human, and that's a mark of a good performance.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would say among these, he's probably the strongest.
And he as well did a very big physical transformation.
He did. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that should be a criteria for whether you actually deserve an award, but you're right that the Academy often looks at something like
that. If that's the case, then Christian Bale for The Machinist was probably the biggest transformation
I've
ever seen.
I think he was great in The Machinist. I like that movie a lot.
Yeah, he should have won. I like the movie as well, but that to me, that was the biggest transformation. And the fact that 3 months later, he started filming, I think, Dark Knight.
Right,
so it was like he literally.
You watch him in American Hustle, and he's all pudgy. And
yeah, I mean, talk about a guy who really transforms.
He kind of goes overboard. But then, of course, you know, there's consequences to that. Hasn't Tom Hanks said that one of the reasons he thinks that he has diabetes now is because he did all of these, like he would gain a lot of weight and then he would lose a lot of weight, and then he, you know, his dedication to his craft has destroyed his health.
Yeah, and I do have to say, Matthew McConaughey doesn't quite yet even look himself.
Right. Well, if you watch him in
If
you watch him in Wolf of Wall Street, he's clearly not quite recovered.
Yes, he was.
He's,
it seemed like he was suffering from, and I did see that. That he was still suffering or in. Experiencing
he's still
that
kind of
transformation,
gaunt,
made him play a cocaine addict really well.
That's true.
I watched. What was the one with Sandra Bullock that A Time to Kill?
Right.
I just watched it last week. I rewatched it, and I'm also watching True Detective with him now on HBO. And it's so weird how different he looks, you know, back then, even though, like, apparently now it's been a while since he did the film. He still doesn't quite look like the Matthew McConaughey of,
A Time to Kill was like 20 years ago.
I know, but even in, Magic Mike, he still he doesn't quite look like Matthew McConaughey to me yet.
Okay.
But
I think he did Magic Mike before Dallas Buyers Club, though.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
But he hasn't gone back to that yet.
Like, okay.
He's still a little too thin.
You want the Magic Mike version
of Matthew. Well, don't we all want the Magic Mike version of anybody?
I'm ambivalent about that.
We all want it. Okay, so I also liked Michael Fassbender.
I like Michael Fassbender. I think that role was, I mean, it's such a like villainous role, and he really tears into it maybe a little more than is necessary. But I think Michael Fassbender is a great actor.
Yeah, I enjoy everything he does. I mean, I even liked him in X-Men.
Yeah,
Man,
absolutely.
Man,
he does a good job
with
that
no matter
role.
What he does, it's kind of, and he makes interesting choices, I think, in the films he chooses.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Best actress in a supporting role. Sally Hawkins, Blue's Jasmine, who played the sister, correct?
Yes.
Jennifer Lawrence, American Hustle. Lupita Nyong'o, 12 Years a Slave. Julia Roberts in the horrible August Osage County. And June Squibb in Nebraska.
Well, Jennifer Lawrence, I think, is probably going to win this award. Again, like I was saying before, she's really the one in American Hustle who's gotten all the attention.
Do you think it's deserved?
I mean, I think Jennifer Lawrence is a really good actress. I think in this particular movie, like I said, I think Amy Adams did a better job and just had a much wider range of things to play. Whereas Jennifer Lawrence plays more of a one-dimensional kind of character, and she does a good job with it, but it wasn't necessarily something that I looked at and thought, this is an amazing performance. I think she's great, and she was great in Silver Linings Playbook, which she deservedly won that award. So, but I think she's definitely, she has that momentum.
Now, I didn't, the only movie I didn't see, which I feel horrible about because I really wanted to, was Nebraska. And, but every clip I've seen of June Squibb, she's phenomenal.
She is. She's very funny in this movie. And it's a very funny movie, which maybe works against it in some ways because the Oscars don't usually go for comedic performances. But I mean, I think what she does well, what all the actors in Nebraska do well is they take this material that's very funny and they find the emotion in it and the humanity in it. And she starts out as this kind of stereotypical, like, crotchety old lady who says inappropriate things, and it deepens and you understand sort of why she approaches life that way and her relationship with her husband, played by Bruce Dern. So I do think she's really good in this movie.
Now, Lupita Nyong'o won some things. She's won a couple of the awards.
Has she?
Yeah, she won, oh gosh, was it the SAG Award, I think, is the one that she won. And so, I mean, I thought that she was very powerful in that role.
She was very powerful.
I mean, and I compare her to Jennifer Lawrence, and I'm not so sure that Jennifer Lawrence, I would choose her over that. I mean, I love Jennifer Lawrence. I think she's wonderful. But I guess, you know, I mean, here's this new actress on the scene, pretty much. And I thought that her performance was heartbreaking.
It was. I mean, obviously, those are very, very different roles. I mean, mm-hmm. Jennifer Lawrence's character is
a Jersey housewife.
And is played for laughs for the most part in that movie. So, yeah, she was very powerful. And there is sometimes that inclination to sort of give a coronation to some, this is a new star or whatever. So I think that's possible. But I think most likely Jennifer Lawrence will get it. For whatever reason, awards love Jennifer Lawrence. Okay. And I mean, I think it's deserved. She's great. But,
yeah, she's very talented. Yeah. I also thought she was good in Hunger Games, which didn't get any nominations.
No, it did not.
Okay, let's go to director. I think that's the last big thing other than we'll go into some other things after that. But best director, American Hustle, David O. Russell, Gravity, Alfonso Cuarón. I think that's correct. Nebraska, Alexander Payne, 12 Years a Slave, Steve McQueen, and The Wolf of Wall Street, Martin Scorsese. Now, you've got a few newbies and a few kind of standards. Like, I mean, David O. Russell always does an amazing job, and as does Martin Scorsese and Alexander Payne. They're all directors that we've known to have, you know, critical success in the past. Who do you think is going to win this year?
I think Alfonso Cuarón is going to win this award because Gravity is just such an amazing technical achievement.
It is a little groundbreaking.
And to pull all of those elements together, and that's really what the directing is to take those amazing special effects and those long takes that the cinematographer puts together and the great performances. You know, Sandra Bullock is great in this movie in large part because the director is able to sit with her in this weird harness thing where she can't see anything and help her create a character and understand the world that she's in. So being able to pull all that stuff together, I think, is really an important talent. And I think in this case, even if Gravity doesn't win any of those other major awards for Best Picture or for the acting, I think he'll probably win the directing award.
Gotcha. Now, as far as what was left out.
Yeah, this is what I want to know. What are your big omissions?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I didn't prepare for that.
Oh, that's okay. No, but like, for example, Blackfish, I thought was an incredible documentary, and it was not nominated.
Right. Well, I don't necessarily agree with you about Blackfish. I mean, I think Blackfish, for me, and I'm sort of surprised it wasn't nominated because I think the Academy loves documentaries that are more about pushing a message than they are about being good movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think Blackfish was a great movie. I mean, it obviously had something important to say, and that's great. But I appreciate when documentaries are more than just TV specials. You know,
yeah.
I mean, Blackfish is airing on CNN constantly,
mm-hmm.
and it could have easily originated as something that aired on CNN. Not that its message isn't important, but I don't necessarily think it's a great movie. And I think, I mean, I actually haven't seen all of the documentaries that are nominated this year. I think I've only seen three of the five documentaries this year. But I thought, like, Cutie and the Boxer is really, it takes its subject and approaches it in a very cinematic way. It does more than just kind of interview some people and tell you something that you could get out of a magazine article. So, but Blackfish certainly was highly acclaimed.
Yeah. And what about, and it's also strange the documentary would get is something. Usually the documentaries that are nominated, 90% of the people in the world have not seen it.
That is true.
You know, I think that Al Gore's film, was probably one of the only ones that, you know, everyone was very familiar with when it won.
Right, or when Michael Moore gets nominated.
Oh, yes, exactly. But,
I mean, that's one of the great functions of that kind of category, or the foreign language film category, is that it can open people's eyes, and you're sitting there watching the Oscars because you want to see celebrities, and then they're taking time to say, hey, here are some documentaries, here are some foreign films, here are some short films that you might actually be able to see. And it's easier than ever. I mean, especially like the short films, which it used to be no one would ever see those, mm-hmm. except at festivals, and now they're going to be playing here at the Suncoast next weekend, and they're available on iTunes, and it's just so much easier if you watch the Oscars and you think, hey, this sounds like a really interesting thing that I've never heard of, then you can go out and actually see it.
Yeah, I did that with Man on a Wire.
Yeah, which is a great movie.
Yeah, that was fantastic, about the crossing between the Twin Towers of the French tightrope walker.
Yes.
Yeah, so that was an incredible movie. But and I didn't know about it other than that.
Right.
A couple of things that also, do you think Robert Redford was left out of Best Actor?
I do. Yeah, that's a good one that now I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I thought that movie was, it got like a sound design or sound editing nomination or something like that. But All Is Lost, he was fantastic in that movie and really carries that movie. I mean, much like Sandra Bullock in Gravity, carries that entire movie on his own really, really strongly. Inside Llewyn Davis is another one that I thought was really left out. It got, again, I think maybe one nomination for cinematography, it looks like. But Oscar Isaac was so good in that movie.
I have to say this, that I have like a little bit of a thing for Oscar Isaac as far as what he's done. I watched a silly movie that he did called 10 Years, that it was, what's his name from Magic Mike? Channing Tatum had, it was one of the producers of, and it was about a 10-year, very silly. I mean, it was like a silly, like, almost like a mini Big Chill of their 10-year reunion.
Right.
And he wrote original music for it. And I was like, wow, this guy is so talented.
He really is.
And then here, then he pretty much shows that in Inside, what is it, Llewyn Davis?
Llewyn Davis, yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, I loved that movie. And I think his performance, I think the screenplay, the direction, the costume design. I mean, that was a movie that I would have expected to see all over the place. And it just wasn't. So I think that was surprising. And disappointing, too.
What about Tom Hanks in Captain Phillips?
Tom Hanks was good in Captain Phillips. I mean, Tom Hanks
And the Academy loves him. So
right,
yeah.
Exactly. So that is surprising. I don't think it was necessarily Tom Hanks' best performance. I'm not really that upset to see him not nominated. I mean, I think it's a solid performance that is really great only in that final scene in the movie where he
amazing.
Just breaks down.
Yeah.
And that scene is so good. But yeah, it is surprising not to see him nominated for that or for Saving Mr. Banks, which I didn't particularly care for, but he had two opportunities to get nominated and didn't manage either of them, which is very surprising for Tom Hanks.
Yeah, and also Emma Thompson had a lot of buzz.
She did for that movie as well.
So was that a shock that you think that she was left out?
A little bit. I mean, I don't think she necessarily had as much buzz as some of these people, but she did get some nominations and she might have even won some Critics Group Awards. So yeah, it is a little surprising, and her role in that movie has a little more substance to it than Tom Hanks's role does, but she's not Tom Hanks. So, you know, being Tom Hanks really helps Tom Hanks when it comes to getting award nominations.
All right. With that, we have to wrap it up here and, plug your, column, Josh Bell Hates Everything at joshbellhateseverything.com, and in Las Vegas Weekly. The Oscars are scheduled for March 2nd, Sunday at 7 p.m. So check it out, and we'll see. We'll see how your prognostication.
I think that might be 7 p.m. Eastern.
So isn't it? It's 4 p.m. Pacific.
Five,
zone. Do they not tape it though?
It airs live. Yeah, 4 p.m. might be
I'm
the
wrong
pre-show.
About that. Four
or 5 p.m.
Right.
or something like that. But yeah, tune in early.
Back that up. 4 o'clock. Pacific time, and we are in the Pacific time zone. So anyway, Josh, thanks for coming down. It's great to have you on, and we'll do this again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas!